Morning Edition continues on 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. Now, it probably hasn't been all that many years since you first heard the term biofuels. Now, in a relatively short period of time, you're going to find a multitude of gas stations selling E85 ethanol fuel and B20 biodiesel. 5 years ago, a six-state consortium launched the I-75 Green Corridor Project. It aimed to make these fuels from Sewell St. Marie in northern Michigan all the way to Miami, Florida, available so you would never have to refuel without having those options and alternatives available. Well, how far have we come? What kind of environmental impact may it be having? Well, those are questions we're going to answer today for you on Issues of the Environment. My guest is Laura Palombi, and Laura is Director of Business Development for the Clean Energy Coalition. Laura, good morning, and thank you for being here.
Good morning, David. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start here. How far along are we 5 years into the project? Have we created the corridor from all the way in northern Michigan and Canada down to Miami where you can go all the way without having to fill up with regular fuel?
That's correct. The project is complete. The stations are located along I-75, no more than 200 miles apart. So you can drive from Sault Ste. Marie all the way to Miami, filling up only using biofuels. Biofuels include ethanol fuel, so E85, or biodiesel, B20 blends, or other proportions of the biomix with the diesel or the gasoline.
Now, we know these are available, and certainly there's a multitude of gas stations in southeast Michigan that have these available. Are we seeing increased interest in actually using those fuels, or is it just about the availability right now?
The project aimed to provide the availability. You know, about 5 years ago, there was a lot more attention being paid to biofuel use and production. These days, that's been eclipsed a little bit with other alternative fuels, such as natural gas and propane. But biofuels are still available. We feel it's important to promote all of the alternatives, especially at this early stage in the alternative fuel vehicle market development, in order to continue to build interest and awareness about ways to reduce the use of petroleum-based fuels, foreign-based oil fuel production, to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and to promote new technologies in the market.
So 5 years into the project, is there any tangible evidence that says we are making those kinds of impacts?
Sure. You know, that we track the number of gallons sold, and on the whole, the project has dispensed more than 3 million gallons of biofuel along that corridor since the project began. And what that means is that there's about 2.6 million gallons of fuel that have been displaced by these biofuel alternatives. And what that means is 61,000 barrels of petroleum avoided and 25,000 tons of greenhouse gas emissions avoided.
And I guess this falls under the category of you have to start somewhere, because in the grand scheme of things, that's a drop in the bucket.
Correct. Yeah, it's very small, but still significant. And we love to see the signs at the gas stations that have not only the prices for the gasoline and diesel, but also the biofuels.
And how do those prices compare? Because if you look at the sign, it would appear that it is much cheaper to purchase E85 than it is your regular unleaded.
Right. On the price per gallon basis, the E85 fuel is slightly lower than the gasoline fuel. However, it has a slightly lower fuel density. So you can expect to have a slightly reduced mile per gallon when you're using the E85. In some cases, it can even out. There's some handy calculators online to help you understand where it is cost effective to use the E85 versus regular gasoline, depending on the price difference there and the mile per gallon rating that your vehicle already gets.
I'm guessing then that if you want to fully analyze cost benefit, you must also take into consideration what you consider to be benefit.
Correct. Yeah, there are a number of benefits to using the biofuels. I've mentioned a couple of them. One is the greenhouse gas emissions reduction, and one is using a domestically produced fuel.
You know, not everybody is buying into this biofuel industry, and certainly questions its future moving forward. How do you respond to those who say that its actual production expends more fossil fuels than it does in creating biofuels?
Yeah, I've seen some of those studies, too. You know, I don't know how the numbers have panned out, but I know that it is very important to understand the whole life cycle analysis cost of producing our fuels. There are some things that you just can't account for in terms of the environmental benefits or maybe even the national security benefits that go into that trade-off. At this point, I think we're so early in the market that moving any alternative forward doesn't necessarily mean that that's the silver bullet solution, but that we should be trying as many alternatives as we can to see which ones do the best in the marketplace.
This is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, and we're talking biofuels with Laura Palombi, and Laura's Director of Business Development for the Clean Energy Coalition. And as we look moving forward, what is the future of the biofuels industry?
I think it's kind of going to stay pretty steady. We could see some increased use, especially in diesel vehicles. The fleets that I've had experience working with have been skeptical of using biodiesel in their big equipment. They're concerned about vehicle performance and the fuel qualities of impacting their engines negatively. But over time, people have become a lot more comfortable with that and are working up to trying higher and higher blends of the biofuels. So maybe they start out with a 5% biofuel blend, substituting with their diesel. And as they learn that the vehicles still continue to perform as expected, they might bump up to a 20% blend. There are also strategies to alleviate any sort of the cold weather problems that cause that biofuel to run a little thicker. And so they might switch down to a lower blend, a B5 blend, in the wintertime, and then in the summertime switch to the higher blend.
So as time progresses, we're just going to have more and more options on the fuel front.
Absolutely. There's a lot of exciting options. Biofuels, and then along with our other alternatives that are coming to market, electric vehicles, compressed natural gas, propane.
One of the things that I've heard about moving forward is the possible production of ethanol from algae, which is naturally grown and which would eliminate all of the controversy and conversation about the potential detriment of solely basing the fuel on corn.
Exactly. I would love to see that. I know there are a lot of folks working to make that happen. The limitation right now is just getting that kind of lab-based production scalable so that we can produce the level of fuel that's needed. But I think that's on the horizon and would be very excited to see that.
So let's say, and I am, a person in the market for a new car. Mm-hmm. What would be your argument to me to seek out a flex fuel vehicle that might allow me these options and choices?
Mm-hmm. A flex fuel vehicle really isn't going to cost you much more than a regular vehicle. It's a very inexpensive option to have your vehicle's fuel lines ready to handle that type of fuel. And it provides that option. You can choose whether or not to use E85 every time you go to the gas station. You may find that you're in a place where it's unavailable, so you use regular gasoline, or you may find that the price point is where you want it to be, so you can make an effort to use that E85. But that option, when you purchase a vehicle, gives you options later in terms of what kind of fuel you're going to use.
Now, there are certainly more flex fuel vehicles available than ever before. Mm-hmm. Those who are purchasing those cars, are they actually using the biodiesel and the ethanol?
I would say they could do better at using that fuel, and that brings us back to the great reason for building this biofuels corridor is to promote awareness and to remind people that these kinds of fuels are available, and if they have the kind of vehicle that can handle them, we want to let them know that there's stations available and encourage them to use that kind of fuel.
Thank you so much for your time. I certainly appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, David.
That is Laura Palombi, and Laura's Director of Business Development for the Clean Energy Coalition. I'm David Fair, and again, you've been listening to Issues of the Environment. It's a weekly feature produced in partnership with the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division, and you hear it every Wednesday during Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU.